See, there I hit the button, and it all started rolling. 4 seconds in, and we dominate the podcast world. Total podcast domination.
Only takes us 4 seconds to dominate.
Dun, dun, dun. I dominate fast. I come in fast, come in hard, leave them wanting more.
You had to come in with the theme song?
Fast and hard, coming in fast and hard, with crazy content and lots of fun. It's the Brian Noonan Show podcast with Cody Goff on a Wednesday night. You'll listen on a Sunday or whenever you want, because it's magic.
On demand. How are you?
How am I? I am lovely. Why do you ask? Why do you seem curious? Why are you standing? Why is there air? There's a lot of questions.
Why is there air, Brian?
Listen, I stole that from Bill Cosby back in the day, back before we knew he was a rapist.
He was funnier before we knew that.
Sure, he was really funny. He was funny when he was young. I don't even, and obviously that was before we knew he was a fiendish monster. But I think that's a fair label, fiendish monster, which should have been the name of his last special.
If fiendish monster,
fiendish monster, you know, fatherhood, parenthood, fiendish monster. That would have been a nice end. But yeah, I'm embarrassed to say. Well, I'm not embarrassed to say now. I didn't know. I had all his albums back then. He was hilarious.
Believe it or not, it's possible for some people to do things good and also be very bad.
True.
There's a lot of writers, a lot of classic writers who like beat their wives and racist and did terrible things.
Well, there's a lot of people that people go to the movies and watch TV shows and in their personal lives they're awful.
Yeah.
But the consumers eat them up. And then, I mean, once you know, then you can make a decision. But if you don't know, you know. I was 12. I'm listening to Bill Cosby albums. What do I know what he's doing, you know, when he's off? You know, when he's in a hotel. I don't care. I'm listening to Baby Coach Wheels and my brother Russell. And I'm laughing like crazy.
We are coming out swinging with hot takes this week.
Yeah, man, hot takes. Oh,
it's December. Man. Is that what we're doing? We're doing hot takes.
Hot take December. All the way to Christmas.
To thaw the chill that we're feeling from the freezing winter wonderland weather.
Wow, you are using a lot of W's.
A lot of alliteration.
Wow, that's crazy. You're like a wascally wabbit.
As I dwink water.
Dwink water. Now we're going to get letters from people. Why are they making fun of people with the thing, with the speeching?
You know, I had a speech impediment when I was a kid.
Did you?
I had to take speech therapy classes in second grade.
What was your impediment?
I talk the way I talk now.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much improvement have you made?
I don't remember.
Did you have a lisp? Did you have a sibilant S?
I think it was a little bit of a lisp.
Did you have this sibilant S?
I don't enunciate very well.
No.
I'm not top-tier WGN radio talent.
Listen, who is?
You.
Well, that's your opinion. Thank you. I appreciate the compliment.
Management doesn't share it,
but that's fine.
It's a fact.
Well, listen, facts don't matter in this country anymore.
That's true.
Happy New Year.
Don't
Merry
matter
Christmas.
At the station
happy
either.
Hanukkah. We're Jolly Kwanzaa.
Or a microcosm. Yeah, you got to wish me happy everything or I'll be offended.
Happy everything. Happy everything.
I'm going to start saying that instead of happy holidays. Yeah.
Happy everything. Happy days are here again.
You know, I meant to mention this in our last episode. When I was in second grade, and actually first through third grade, one of my classmates was a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, they don't celebrate anything.
I know. No, that's literal. That's not a joke.
No,
listener that's not aware, Brian's actually serious. They don't.
They celebrate nothing.
Because I distinctly remember when we had a birthday celebration in our classroom, she would specifically sit out.
Yes.
And the teacher would say, oh, Jenny or Jesse or whatever her name was, Jenny is a Jehovah's Witness. They don't celebrate birthdays.
Right.
And she just mostly kind of sat there.
Yeah. I've had kids at school that don't, you know, or Jehovah's Witness, they don't come on the Halloween party days, or they don't come on the winter holiday party days, which used to be Christmas parties. They were fun then.
So they don't come into school at all?
Some stay home.
Huh.
Yeah, or some will go down to like the social worker's office or something and play a game or do something, you know, they'll go to the gym, something during that little amount of time. So they're not part of the... They're not forced to, you know, partake in something that they don't believe in.
If I recall correctly, Jenny, if that is her name, would stay in the classroom. Yeah. She just wouldn't participate.
It's got to be hard. That's awful.
Yeah, to a kid.
Yeah, because kids, I mean, kids know religion, I guess, even in second grade. Well, I did because I went to a Catholic school. So, but, you know, that's still hard. It doesn't mean you should forego your religious beliefs so your kid's life is easier, but keep them home that day. I mean, for a birthday party, it's hard to know. You can't know everybody's birthday. And you can't know if, you know, is Cody's mom going to send in cupcakes that day, which she probably made at home and it was fine and nobody died. Now, God forbid something homemade comes within 500 yards of a school. They call out the hazmat team. There's a sniper on the roof. The dogs come in. They're sniffing around. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to get rid of all the drugs I have. They're like, no, do you have any homemade cookies or a nut? I go, no, I don't have any nuts on me. Well, and then they say, well, we weep for your wife. But good, don't worry about it. That's all we're looking for, nuts.
Speaking of nuts, my friend Logan in Denver is a vegan for some reason. And
I alienated the vegans when I was on Nick's show.
What'd you do?
I just made a joke. Of course, I made a joke about people bringing food. Oh, I was talking about, you know, my brother asking me to cook a whole special dinner because a girl he was dating at the time was vegetarian. And I was like, well, I'm going to have this and this and this. Those are all. Well, can't you cook something else? I said, no, I'm not cooking something else. You're the one who doesn't want to eat meat. You know, bring some. And so, of course, that offended somebody. Called me a murderer.
Over text, right?
Oh, sure.
They texted it. Because why call?
No, they texted that I was, you know, nothing's funny about murder and cruelty, and that's why I stopped listening to you and Nick, because you made jokes about meat. And I'm like, wow. You know, maybe if you had a hamburger, you'd have a little better sense of humor.
Hi-o!
Good morning.
So your friend's a vegan. Does he not eat nuts, too? Are they? They don't come from... Well, he doesn't drink the coffee that comes from the nuts that crazy cat poops out in Peru.
That was like 7 degrees of separation.
I go long. I take a long road for
no.
A joke.
I said speaking of nut because he is nuts.
Oh, because he's nuts.
Yeah,
okay.
Because he's vegan, but he gave out Oreos on Halloween.
Oh,
because they're vegan.
Are they really?
Did you know that?
I didn't.
Now vegans don't look so bad, do they?
I'm not a big Oreo fan.
Now, if you're listening to this and you're vegan, don't quote me on that or take that as medical advice.
Yeah, because if there's been...
I might be wrong.
Not that Cody's been wrong about stuff before, but just as when I give out any sort of legal or medical advice, it comes with a very strong disclaimer. So I would have to throw that disclaimer on Cody's knowledge of veganism.
I mean, if I type Oreo V in Google, first result, the first autocomplete is Oreo vegan.
Really?
So.
All right. Well, then maybe it's true.
Oh, are Oreos vegan? Spoiler alert. According to Good Housekeeping, Oreo cookies are not vegan.
Oh.
This is according to the Oreo FAQ page itself. So there you go. Looks like Logan sucks. I'm going to text him right now a picture of this search result because he earned it.
Yes, they have milk as a cross contact and therefore they are not suitable for vegans. Unfortunately, not as we use wheat in the Oreo recipe. Oreo products do not contain nut or nut traces. There is no right way to eat an Oreo. Yeah, we know that. So, yeah, no vegan. No, man, that's horrible.
I just texted Logan and will update if I receive a reply during this podcast. He did email me, or he did text us. Why do I keep saying email? He did text my friend group. I'm on like a thread with him about an hour ago saying he was drunk. So I'm not sure if he'll still be awake to reply.
Oreo is not only is it not vegan, it is not halal, it is not kosher, it is not suitable for dairy-free diets. So there you go. There are a lot of things Oreo is not. Some things Oreo is. It is nut-free.
It is nut-free.
Right. It is not gluten-free. What does that say? Vegetarians can eat them, but vegans cannot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, sorry about that, pal. Boy, that's going to ruin his day. He thought he was being Mr. Social Justice, standing up for his principles. He believed something he saw on Reddit, some sub-channel.
I'm sending him another screenshot. Now we're done. Now I'm done live texting on the program.
You're done? Well, that's all right. Listen, sometimes we got to, you know...
That was breaking.
It was breaking.
How did we get on that? How does every week we end up talking about the political correctness of Christmas and what we did on Halloween? Halloween has come up like 6 weeks in a row here.
Did it really?
Yeah, because we talked about it last week.
Oh, the clown costume came up last week.
Yeah,
that's right.
Costume.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Listen, it's crazy. What was I going to say?
Can I tell you the?
You
just
can tell
say,
me. So, yeah, do you have a story? You have something you want to get into?
I just wanted to give a little bit more of a sense of immersion to the listener.
Oh,
I gotta say, Brittany across the street, beautiful Christmas tree.
Let me see. Hold on. I'm gonna turn my entire body. Well, from a distance, it's hard to tell. It's well lit. I will say there are a lot of
well
lights
lit.
On it.
Maybe I just like it because
so
it's
so for
up.
Me, yeah, it's up, and I'm a fan of a well lit tree, so I will give her kudos for that.
We have an imaginary friend across the street from one of the WGN radio studios that apparently has been nicknamed by the engineers Brittany.
The engineers call her Brittany.
There's really, you can see various people walking around occasionally, but pretty much the building next door looks abandoned most of the time.
Yeah, there's lights on. Some of the floors don't have a lot of action. There's one strange apartment with Visqueen on the floor and a million bikes in it. So that's odd. We don't know what's on. We don't spend all our time staring out the window, but sometimes we look out the window and see. We can see people watching TV or going about their lives and, people sitting at their computers. But, yeah, Brittany comes and goes. Cody is fascinated because she watches it appears that she watches TV on her laptop. Or she watches her programming, her content. She consumes content from her laptop.
Yeah, I mean, you know this if you've ever lived in a high-rise in a downtown area, metropolitan, such as Chicago.
A big metropolitan, major metropolitan area?
Yeah, you glance across the street, you see some movement, you look and you say, oh, what is that? Oh, that's a screen that someone's watching from their couch. Oh, that screen is definitely the size of like a 14-inch computer monitor.
Yeah.
So it's like they put the laptop across on their entertainment stand where a real TV should be. And then that's the entertainment.
That's too small.
And yet, anyone living in this general area has a ton of money. Because these are not cheap
places. They're not cheap. And TVs are relatively inexpensive.
They're super inexpensive.
You know.
People are dumping them in Old Town. See, this is how I got a good TV when I moved to the city. Because you go on Craigslist and
right.
It's like, oh, hey, the dude in Old Town with a 50-inch rear projection TV just got a brand new 70-inch plasma for Christmas. Because he's a trader and makes $190,000 a year.
Right.
And so he's going to sell this rear projection 50-inch TV for $100. I got one for $100, Toshiba. I got one a few years later because I didn't feel like, I don't know what happened to the other one. I got one a few years later for $50.
See?
That's what happens when there's very rich people that live near you. They get rid of their stuff for cheap.
Yeah, when we were living, and we're not very rich people, but we were moving and downsizing, we had some old TVs that were good TVs, but they were the big tube, heavy HD TVs. We sold them on Craigslist. People came and bought them.
Right.
One weighed like 200 and some pounds.
Ugh.
It was ridiculous.
Ugh.
It was the first HD TV I ever bought. We were like, oh, man, when we were living in California, we decided, because our cable bill just kept going up, 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 and we bought our house. And we were like, well, let's get a TV. And so this was when HD was first coming out, because we were going to get satellite. This is when we were going to go with DirecTV. We're going to get satellite. And so we decided, well, if we're getting satellite, we should get an HD TV. That's what we need. Back then, it wasn't even HD. It was, I forget what the technology was, right before HD TV.
Oh, DSLR. Did I make that up?
No, we have a DL, a digital, we have that now. Our big screen is that, but that's an HD. It was something, it was like three, whatever the technology was of this TV. And we went to a place in the valley because a guy told me he knew a guy who could get me a deal. And we went down there and it was a Sharp, it was a picture-in-picture, and it had, it was the high def for that time. And but the thing weighed 225 pounds. It was unbelievable. And we moved it from California to our house here, and it took two or three guys. This is how heavy it was. When we moved it from, because we brought it from California, we put it in the family room. And then when the Bears were in the Super Bowl in 2005, going into 2006, Debbie said, go get a big TV. So we went and got a big screen TV, because we had a big family room. We got a big screen TV HD, and it was the DLR, the light reflecting one, where the mirrors spin and the light goes on. That so that's what I still have. But it took two of my buddies. We put the TV, we pulled Molly's wagon up next to the entertainment center. We lifted this TV off and put it on the wagon, wheeled the wagon across the family room, through the kitchen to the basement stairs, and then the three of us had to try to get it down the stairs into the basement and put it on the entertainment center there, where it stayed until I sold it. And the guys who bought it, I said, it weighs 225 pounds. You got to move it up the stairs if you want it. And they came and they looked at it and they turned it on, and it had, still had a beautiful picture. And they were like, okay. And so the two of them, and halfway up, they were like, oh my God. And when they got it out, you know, trying to get it then out the front door and into their truck, they're like, oh, this is insane. I was like, yep, you bought it, you carry it. And now I have this, the one that I bought in 2005 is like a 62 inch, and it weighs maybe 70 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, and now that's even heavy compared to the stuff you can get now, you know. So back to your point, yes, she needs a bigger TV, because then I see her moving across her living room to try to adjust or maybe switch programs, because you don't have a remote on your laptop, do you?
Some people do.
Okay, well, maybe she do.
So,
but
anyway,
and it's
lest,
too much.
Lest we mislead the listener, look, there's glare on these windows. You can't see 99% of what's going on outside these
but
windows.
But I can see 100, because I bring binoculars and infrared goggles. And then I turn the lights off in the studio and I just sit all night.
We only did that a couple dozen times.
And I look.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are figuring out where, you know, they've listened long enough. We know where they are. Oh my God, he's looking in my apartment. All of a sudden the police will come storming in.
What if Brittany's streaming us right now?
Oh, that would be crazy.
That would be crazy.
What if that's what she's watching on her? How meta. That's what she's watching on her laptop. She's watching us on the stream.
Well, wait, we're not.
Oh, no, we're not podcasting.
We're podcasting right now, so
right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she's listening to an old podcast while we're podcasting a new podcast. How many times can I say podcast in a sentence? That's a lot.
You could probably say it one more time.
Podcast?
Mm-hmm.
I could say podcast again?
Yeah.
That would be strange on a podcast to just keep saying podcast.
It would.
It doesn't make sense. People know we're podcasting. That's why they're listening to a podcast.
Yet here we are.
Here we are. Did you go and audition for... MTV's The Real World? They were back in town.
No one told me. I think they only want, let's see, thin, attractive, fit, single, extremely sexual, and or unstable people.
So everything really but single, some people would call you handsome, so I think you'd be all right.
I'm not.
18 to 34 was the age range. Do you fit that age range?
Oh, wow. I've only got one more year.
Oh, is that right?
Or so.
Okay. Well, you take off the Hollywood 5.
I'm not going to give away.
Because you're 42, but
right.
You look about 38.
I'm not giving my age away on this show.
Of course not. Don't do that.
It's not public record.
So that's they were at Bar Louie's, and they were.
Bar Louie.
Bar Louie.
Where? Wait. Didn't they all close?
Not the one on Printer's Row. No,
oh,
not all
that
of them
one's
closed.
Still there.
That
yeah,
one's
yeah.
Still there. Most of them closed.
The one in Wrigleyville closed by IO.
The one in Orland
ago.
Closed.
And there's one in Wicker Park that closed forever ago.
Really?
Oh,
yeah, the
man.
One in Orland closed a long, long time ago. I don't know if the one in Naperville closed. I haven't been out there in a while. I've only been there a couple times.
Yeah, the one in Wicker was 8 years ago, I think.
Well, they kept one open just so they could bring the Real World back.
Oh, and they've still got the Bar Louie down by Promontory Point.
Oh, that's right, because that's where we got the Uber. We drove by there a couple weeks ago. We were at an event at the Museum of Science and Industry, and I slept in the Uber on the way there. But on the way back, we turned, and I said, oh, there's Promontory Point. And Debbie said, yeah, I knew, because on the drive down, you were asleep, but I saw the Bar Louie where we went and caught the got the Uber. And I was like, oh, yeah. So, and I was looking, and I did see... there was one way to get off Lakeshore Drive. It was not marked. You just kind of had to know where to pull off Lakeshore Drive and shoot right up there.
Yeah, if you ever go to Promontory Point or get invited to a wedding there, just put Bar Louie in that Uber.
Yeah, go to Bar Louie, walk underneath Lakeshore Drive and hike up.
You pretty much have to walk off Lakeshore.
Yeah, you have to walk.
Really? Yeah. Across Lakeshore, under the
under Lakeshore, yeah.
But yeah, so real world, did you audition?
No, of course not. I'm much older than 34. Plus, I would kill everybody in that house. After I was done getting liquored up and having sex in the hot tub, I'd drown everybody.
Mm.
Yeah, so that it wouldn't last long. The season would last, I figure I'd last a week.
Where is this real world taking place?
I don't know, but there, it's so not the real world. Did you ever watch The Real World?
Bits and pieces here and there.
I remember watching the first season in its entirety.
Yeah.
Because it was fascinating. Because it was the first season and it was an original thing. And then when it got bastardized and, you know, they kept going, you know, everything's cool the first season because people are original. You know, if you come in and you're a character, you're the first one. After the first season, one, they're casting, we need a new Puck, we need a new this. And everybody auditioning is like, I'm going to be the drunk whore. I'm going to be the stud. I'm going to be the, you know, the funny guy. So it's never the same. It's all, after the first season, it's all contrived. Not that the first season isn't, but you don't notice it because you've never seen it before. So it's like a lot of shows. But, yeah, when they, you know, every once in a while I would check in, but it was never as good. And there was, you know, I remember the one season where they had this wasn't the first season, where Pedro, I think it was his name, the guy who came out as gay, or he was gay, and then he got AIDS and he died, and he was a big advocate. I remember that season a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I was always jealous of where they were. You know, they always lived in cool places.
Well, yeah, someone paid their rent to get drunk and party all the time.
And they did it in Chicago one season.
Did they really?
Yeah, one season they were here, The Real World Chicago. I didn't watch it.
What neighborhood?
I don't know. I don't remember. Google it. But no, so I used to watch it the first season because it was fun. And then after that, then The Real World begat The Jersey Shore and Real World Road Rules and all these different games, all these different shows. And then that was, you know... Because when The Real World came on, MTV was still mostly a music channel. Man, I do sound old. Remember when MTV, when the Buggles video came on, video killed the radio star. How true it was.
They lived in a converted bookstore coffee house in Wicker Park in 2001.
That must have been 2001 before Wicker Park exploded into what is now Wicker Park. It was when Wicker Park was just emerging as the hipster haven.
Oh, and that was 2001, so the season depicted cast members dealing with learning of the 9/11 attacks.
Oh. Boy, were they able to comprehend anything through
probably
their drunken
not.
Haze?
No.
9/11,
well,
man.
And they were at Wrigley Field.
I like 420 better.
They were at Wrigley Field for a photo op when they learned about the attacks. Who goes to a photo op at Wrigley Field at 9 a.m.? What was it, 8 a.m., 9 a.m.? It was 7 a.m. here, wasn't it?
Wow. Yeah.
The planes hit pretty early. It was like...
It was early. We were in Los Angeles. It was early.
But it was business hours, so it must have been after 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
8, 9, 7. I don't remember. I should remember. That's horrible. I know it was early in the morning. I know Good Morning America was on. There's things I know. I know Molly had just started kindergarten. See, I have a lot of knowledge. What time?
It was 9:03 a.m. I was
Eastern
wrong.
Time?
So 8:46 a.m. it was hijacked. The South Tower got hit. So
now it's 9:03 Eastern, right?
I'm guessing.
Yes, so that would have been 8:03 here.
It doesn't say on Wikipedia.
It would have been 6:03 in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. But anyway, who goes to Wrigley Field they're an hour ahead, right? So they were at Wrigley Field before 9 a.m. for a photo op?
Well, sure. It's
how are they not still drunk?
We have to go to the most Chicago-centric cliche places
ever. Yeah, but that early
ever.
In the morning, they must have all still been drunk or hungover.
Well, they were partying in Wrigleyville.
All they do is party all the time.
My girl wants to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. Who's that?
I have no idea.
You don't know who that is?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm really upset Logan hasn't texted
really?
Me back yet. None of my friends have.
Well, your friends don't... maybe they're not your friends.
Mm, that's fair.
You really don't know who sang Party All the Time?
No. What?
Oh,
it's a song?
Gosh. Yes, it's a song. Of course it's a song.
You going to play it?
I'll play a little for you. Nope, that's a commercial. Commercial with a guy snoring. That's horrifying.
You're welcome for the free advertising commercial with the guy snoring.
Pull it down a little so we can take a break. We're not playing continuous parts of the music.
I don't know what.
Rick James is in the booth producing it. I'm trying to get to the chorus. I'm gonna give you a couple. Give you a couple seconds.
Blank. I don't know that song.
Eddie Murphy.
Bill Murray?
No, Eddie Murphy.
I don't know that song.
Well, it's from 1985. Eddie Murphy, Sony BMG Music. It's what Eddie Murphy decided. Eddie Murphy was so big that he decided he was going to have Rick James produce a song and an album. So Eddie Murphy did an album. In clubs, just hanging out and dancing.
Okay.
You
give your number to every
man you see. I don't know if you get the gist. His girl wants to party all the time. Party all the time. She parties all night.
Have you ever heard Hooked on a Feeling?
Ooh, I'm hooked on a feeling.
Hooked on
I'm high on believing that you're in love with me.
All
yeah,
right.
Of course I have.
That is a quality 80s song.
Listen, man, we can do Name That Tune.
Well, we could if we had legal rights to any
of
that.
Right, but we can't. So we didn't play that too long, right? How long do you have?
I'll cut some of it out in post.
I think you have to play it in a chunk, don't you?
You know, there's no hard and fast rules for copyright.
Well, let them come after us.
Law.
I'm sure the station will stand behind us. Oh, Merry Christmas.
Brian and Cody, who?
Who? They did what on our where? They're not part of our... No, they're not part of our... Our dealio, you know? No, we don't know who they are. What's that you say?
I'm sorry I missed the Real World audition.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Would have been good for our show. Good press.
Oh, man. If you had been on the Real World, we would have had to design a t-shirt. Just had you wear it all the time. You wear it all the time.
I haven't watched it in a while. Maybe the whole point of the show isn't just to have promiscuous, anonymous sex with everyone you see. But I imagine that's what I would end up doing.
Well, there was one season where there was a girl who was a straight-up alcoholic, like hurt herself alcoholic and had to go to rehab and stuff. I think that was Real World Hawaii. Somebody had, there was trouble. And then Puck, of course, I remember that guy. He was the one who would, pick his nose and then stick it in peanut butter and eat the peanut butter.
That's
it was
awful.
Gross. He was horrible.
I'm just upset that I missed the season with The Miz.
Oh, The Miz. Was he on? He was on The Real World.
Yeah, that's where he got his start. He'd walk around being like he was Mike, but he would go around telling people like I'm the Miz. Call me the Miz, and he had a toy title belt.
I thought he got his start on one of those the wrestling show. Was it Steve Austin? Somebody. There was a pro wrestling show. That's where I thought he got his thing because there was a. Yeah, that's. Are you
tough
sure?
Enough?
Tough enough.
But he was also on The Real World.
Really? Prior to Tough Enough?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so the Miz, who's still around.
If you type The Miz with an and then R, first autofill in Google is The Real World.
We're doing a lot of that on the. I like it. I like it. We don't do that on the air.
It was The Real World back to New York. This
okay.
was the season in. Oh God, who knows. But when was this? June 2nd, 2001. It was filmed from January to June 2001. Premiered July 3rd that year. So right before the Chicago one, Mike Mizanin from Parma, Ohio. He was 20 years old. And early in the season, he finds himself embroiled in debates with castmates over race. He exhibits a wrestler alter ego named The Miz.
Really?
Yeah.
The Miz. Well, I see it here, so I know you're not lying. The Miz Real World. Oh, my God. And he started arguing about race. But, see, I remember him from Tough Enough. That's why I was always amazed. I don't follow wrestling that close. And I watched Tough Enough just because I liked Steve Austin. The Texas yeah. Rattlesnake.
Oh,
who
yeah.
doesn't like Steve Austin?
Bear.
Even though he
more
wears,
bear.
Wears jean shorts, you know, him and John Cena. Not a fan. But, so I watched Tough Enough. So that's why I always kind of, I never took him seriously. Because I was like, oh, but then he rose in the ranks to, he's a pretty big deal in WWE, right?
A lot of people think he's gold right now.
Yeah?
He's really good at cutting promos, and he's a pretty serviceable wrestler.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There was a woman who was on that show with him that went into it for a while. I don't know if she became a manager, if she became...
I'm not sure. They used to do the pairings. Tough Enough underwent a lot of different... WWE experimented with lots of different reality concepts.
Yeah.
One was Tough Enough, where it was Austin pretty much training them. Then they did a separate one, and it was called the Diva Search, and it was just for the women, obviously.
Yeah.
And then they had some seasons where there'd be guys and girls doing it, other times not. So
this was, I think, again, this was the first season that I watched it. Because after that, I was like, eh, no thanks. So I don't know when it first came on. That was when I watched it.
I was in like...
Six seasons. Really?
Yeah, it didn't do a lot. Like I said, it kind of bounced around a bit, and they like relaunched it a couple times.
Yeah.
I don't know. WWE never really figured it out, but it was kind of fun while it lasted. I just remember this guy Maven won one year. Maven had great entrance music. He wasn't a great wrestler, but
Huffman, he was a winner.
Yeah, he won the contract or whatever, and he did a couple matches. He was all right. And he was in the Royal Rumble in, let's say, 2002, 2003 or somewhere around there. And he eliminated The Undertaker from the Royal Rumble.
Really?
He nailed him with a dropkick from behind. And this was like biker Undertaker. So he was a heel and he was all like angry. So Undertaker pulls him out from under the ring, starts beating him up and fights him to the back. So in my mind, I will always remember Maven as having never officially been eliminated from the Royal Rumble.
Oh.
Because to get eliminated, you have to go
be thrown over the
ropes. The top rope. And this has happened two or three times in WWE history where they just, you know, they don't care about the rules because
right.
it's all made up.
Sure.
So they're like, oh, well, whatever, that never happened. So they don't acknowledge it. But like this guy can literally walk around saying, oh, I'm still in the 2000 whatever Royal Rumble, which I think is hilarious. And that he got the Undertaker out of all people.
So he has been wrestling independently since 2015.
Yeah, a lot of those guys go to the indies. Indies, you can make a good buck these days. That's what Cody Rhodes and his crew is doing.
Nydia is the girl I was
thinking. Nydia.
Nydia,
oh my
that's
God.
The woman I was thinking
that
of.
That is a name I haven't heard in forever.
Right, because she won, she was on Tough Enough in 2001. She co-won the first season. See, I told you, I knew it. I knew I remembered her. She co-won the first season. Then that was 17 years ago?
Why is
really
every cultural reference we've made tonight from 2001? Isn't
we're
that
stuck.
Weird?
We need it. Yeah. Both? She retired in 2005, so she did not have a long career.
That was quick. Yeah. Yeah. Both Tough Enough seasons we've mentioned happened to all. Yeah. Both be 2001.
Wow.
Weird.
All right. Well, listen, maybe we need to bring it up into the 2010s. You think?
What do you want to talk about? Well, you brought it. Well, your first story was about real world casting here. So that's
right.
That's
so that
current.
Was current.
What else
that
is
was current?
Then you've got a stack.
Then we kind of devolved into what was going on.
Did you want to say more about that? Or
no, I thought that was something that you would be intrigued by because you know. Now I don't watch reality TV anymore. I used to, you know, we used to watch Survivor. I used to watch, the only one I'll watch is
Amazing Race. You love that.
I do, but then some seasons I don't. Some seasons I don't care at all because I don't find any of the contestants at all palatable.
Tolerable?
Tolerable, palatable.
Okay.
Amenable.
Yeah.
I don't like them.
So
I wish them ill. I hope they get some sort of tapeworm or a parasite on one of their journeys into the Congo.
You know, I considered applying to Amazing Race with my wife.
Really? Your current wife?
Yeah.
First wife?
Yeah.
All right.
That one.
Sure, I know her. She's pretty agile.
Why didn't we ever do that?
I don't know.
Well, don't they always have, there's always one episode where you have to like eat a tarantula or something?
There's a lot of weird food stuff in there. Yeah.
I mean,
but for $1 million?
It's just $1 million.
I'd eat ham for $1 million.
Well, yeah.
Well, but you know how much I hate ham.
Yeah, but come
on. I need ham. I need a tarantula wrapped in ham.
That seems
and served like... on a toothpick at somebody's wedding. Like if I went to a tribal wedding and that was it, instead of bacon wrapped dates, they had bacon wrapped tarantulas. I'd take one for the team.
You know,
what would you do?
Why didn't we apply? I'm trying to figure that out now.
I didn't talk you out of it. Don't ask me. It's not like I was managing your career and said, you know what, Cody, I don't think this is the right move for you.
Maybe the year
I think what you need to do is stay here.
Maybe the year we talked about it, you don't have to be married, but some couples are married, or most aren't.
No, that's not true. There's an equal amount of both. It's the ones that are recently dating that are always trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You know, oh, we just started dating 6 months ago. You're done. You're done not only on the race, but in your relationship. See ya. Newlyweds, there have been a number of them. There have been some who got engaged on the race. There have been some who've been married a long time. There's okay. All kinds of couples. There's all kinds of folks.
All right, we'll win next year, and then we can plug this episode.
That would be terrific.
When the producers say, well, how'd you decide to do this? We can say, well, check out the Brian Noonan Show podcast with Cody Goff starring Brian Noonan.
Wow. Or those are guys who are now in Huntsville? Yeah, that's those guys. They dominate Huntsville drive time.
Yeah.
You know, both cars.
Why are you making people mad again in Huntsville? Jerk.
Yeah, that's the only one I watch. Molly watches some. Molly watches the wedding ones. Say Yes to the Dress, those kind of things.
Bachelorette.
No, not. Oh, yes, she does watch Bachelorette. I don't. I've never seen an entire episode of Bachelorette. I've only seen a couple minutes. That's another one where everybody's banging around. The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise. There was a law. There was a big investigation last year on that Bachelor in Paradise one because one of the guys was accused of sexual improprieties. Yeah.
Wait, what?
On the Bachelor in Paradise, where they all go down there, a whole bunch of them go down, or Paradise Island, or one of those shows.
Oh, wait, but the whole thing is about having sex.
Well, it's consensual.
Oh.
He was accused of it being non-consensual.
Oh, yeah, that's not okay.
No, you can't have...
I heard that there
was
in
this day and age, this is not the 60s anymore. People have to consent.
You know how pretty
you can't
much
just wander up and start banging away on somebody.
You know how pretty much every country has its own version of all these shows now.
Yeah.
I guess a few months ago, it might have been the French version of The Bachelor, or the one in Germany or something. Two of the females.
just gonna make weird cultural stereotypical references. Go ahead.
Two of the female contestants who were vying for the attention of The Bachelor, fell in love with each other.
Hello.
And then decided to just hook up that way.
Really?
They left the show. Yeah.
Wow.
In one of the most, and of course on Twitter, it's like, in one of the most shocking moments in Bachelor history.
Hubbala bubbala.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I like it.
You never know what'll happen on these shows, which is why I cannot be on The Real World, because it just would be too much.
People used to ask, remember when Last Comic Standing was on? That's when I was on the road. That's when I was doing stand-up full-time. Why don't you be on Last Comic Standing? Well, first of all, you know, at the beginning of Last Comic Standing, they would show all these comics trying out. Well, that was pretty much just window dressing because the agents had already cast, you know, the comics who were going to be on there. So they would have these open casting calls, and all these guys and men and women would line up, and they'd do their best 38 seconds, which is impossible. Any comic who tells you they can be good in 38 seconds, I think, is lying. All you're getting in 38 seconds is somebody's personality. So that's fine. But again, they had already pretty much decided, you know, the big agents had pitched their clients, and maybe they'd find one or two, but there were always backdoor channels. So you'd see all these people auditioning, and then guys would use it as their credit. You've seen them on Last Comic Standing, technically, because your face was on there, and we heard one line of your joke, but then you weren't on the show. You didn't live in the house. You were in one of the audition pieces, but, you know, there's your credit. People go, why don't you do that? I go, because I would have killed every one of those people in that house, any of the seasons. One, I don't like people. Two, I don't like communal living. Three, I would have been drunk and made some sort of ham-handed sexual advance at somebody. It would have, and then I would have fought. And it would have just been awful. And then I would have cried. I'd have been, oh, the fat comic who cried. Remember him? What's he doing now? Oh, he's headlining Knuckle Busters in Sioux Falls. Oh, fantastic. I'll have to go see him. What's he doing? One show on Thursday and a matinee on Sunday. Because then Friday and Saturday, they're having midget wrestling. Oh, all right. Well, it sounds like his career is going gangbusters. Thank goodness for that credit.
It's little people wrestling now, Brian.
Sure.
I'm offended.
Oh, I was talking about the cars, the midget race cars.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah. Sure it is.
Still offended.
I don't know. Are you offended?
I'm just going to be offended.
Take it up with HR.
I'm a millennial. I can be a snowflake. It's winter outside.
So everybody's a snowflake.
Yeah.
Please.
Oh, you don't like that term?
No.
Are you triggered by that term?
Oh,
are you offended
the other
now?
One I hate is triggered.
Maybe you're being a triggered snowflake.
Maybe I'm also there's so many others that I... It's no.
Snowflakeception.
Oh.
We're both triggered.
Snowflakeception. What is that?
It's like Inception. The movie Inception?
Never saw it.
Okay. So me neither, but buckle up. Basically, from what I understand...
All right, so you've never seen it, but you're going to explain it to me.
People use this a lot. I know enough.
Snowflakeception?
Yeah, no. Inception, there's a reference... All right, here's the thing with Inception. It's basically, from what I understand, at least part of it is about a dream within a dream within a dream
right.
kind of thing. So it's
life
kind of meta.
Be a dream.
So when something like that happens or you get in like a circular conversation on the internet, you'll make some variant of the word Inception.
Wow.
So... Like if you
I'm
kept,
just going to sit here baffled.
If you kept saying sentences about the word podcast in a podcast, I could have earlier been like
yes.
podcastception, and then
oh,
you wouldn't have known what I meant
right.
then either. But that's what that would have kind of referred
wow.
to. Yeah. This is a thing people do.
What kind of people do this?
Internet people.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Reddit subgroups?
Reddit, subreddits, Twitters.
What's the difference between a Reddit and a subreddit?
Reddit is a website. Subreddit is the subreddits on the website.
Huh? What? That's like explaining, what does a machine do? A machine does machine stuff.
Yeah.
What? Huh? No. That you can't answer a question with the same word.
A machine builds machines, which build machines. Machineception.
Wow. I'm See? Catching on.
Yeah? Getting it?
I don't get this Reddit thing, though, and I know that makes me hopelessly out of touch. I've looked at Reddit before, and I've tried to figure it out. I don't get the process of Reddit. I know Reddit was the place where AMAs kind of began.
Yeah, it's kind of got a hopelessly 90s relic design. It's notoriously hard to...
Yeah, it looks ugh.
Cluttered,
right.
complicated. You don't really know it's...
It's a really like bad message board.
Yeah, it's an aggregator. So the front page shows you the most... I mean, every post on there gets an upvote or a downvote. The front page shows you the most upvoted posts from the aggregator, like the total sum total of all the subreddits you subscribe to.
Okay.
So if I subscribe to the subreddits for, let's say, politics and Final Fantasy and machines and podcasts, then that front
wow.
page will just show me posts from those four in the general order of how popular they are.
Okay.
So your front is an aggregator. And then
so
if you
have to subscribe to stuff?
Yeah,
or can you just go wander in like an idiot?
Well, I mean, when you join, you automatically subscribe to like 20 recommended
oh, okay.
ones. And they all have like 18 million followers or whatever.
Oh, wow.
But then you go into the niche categories. Like I'm in the podcasts one. It's got 500,000 people, but I'm pretty active there. Podcasts. I do some Final Fantasy ones. I do like pro-life tips. Unethical pro-life tips. Those are fun. For example, if you hit someone with a car, pull your car over to the side of the road and run away, and then call the police and report your car is stolen. So, like, I saw that the other day, and I didn't upvote it because I thought, that's unethical, but that's why I subscribed to this.
Wow.
Yeah, stuff like that. Are there
unethical
things,
pro-life?
Yeah, pro-life tips. Or maybe it's just unethical life tips. I don't remember.
Yeah, pro-life is like...
It's a little different.
Yeah.
Ask Reddit is where you just ask a question like, hey, Reddit, what's the most interesting surrealist film from the 1930s? And then like millions of people will reply to you that know about what that is.
Really?
Yeah.
What does Reddit stand for?
I think it just meant to be like, I read it. Like,
oh, I read it.
Like a pun.
I get it.
I don't know. But I'm a
Clever.
Redditor. The subreddits are just words for the categories, basically.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I have enough trouble with comments and websites and message boards. I don't want to get involved in
that. Yeah, no, none of that. Thanks. Like, share, subscribe, retweet.
Please.
What's next on the docket that'll bring us into the 2010s? Or did I bring us already too far?
You took us way back. Way back. I'm going to start talking about dial-up and dial-up internet connections.
Oh, no, I knew what you meant. I did dial-up back in the day.
Yeah. Sure, so everybody did. We all thought it was the coolest thing. All right, here's something to show how dumb we've gotten in an effort to, we shy away. We don't shy away. We don't talk much about gun violence because it's everywhere. But, you know, there's been a lot of talk. How do we curb the gun violence? Do we arm teachers? Which I think is a horrifically bad idea. And every teacher I've spoken to, granted, not a huge sample size, but big enough to know pretty much every classroom teacher, at least in my experience, thinks it's horrible. But now I saw a story the other day of some teachers down in southern Illinois somewhere where their town voted and their teachers are going to start carrying guns. And because, hey, we're a gun culture down here and our kids need to be safe and blah, blah, blah. So now the teachers are going to carry guns, which is just what a teacher needs. You know, stressed out, kid on you all day. And one day you just snap. And really, I don't know. But that's a horrible idea. So, all right, should we arm the teachers? My opinion, no. Should we put armed guards at the door of every hospital, school, synagogue, church, mosque, public, everywhere? Should there just be armed guards everywhere? Because that blanket of armed security will protect us from all the lunatics. So that's another theory. I don't think it'll work. I don't think there's the manpower or the budgets or really, you know, the ability of that to stop crazy violence. But now I think I may have found the answer thanks to Oakland University in Michigan. In Auburn Hills, Michigan, Oakland University has decided that they are going to arm the staff with hockey pucks. That's right, hockey pucks. So they, the faculty at the school, are undergoing training in the event of an attack from an armed intruder. As part of the program, faculty members are being provided hockey pucks to use as weapons against the shooter. Are you just going to stand there and stare?
Yep.
You have no thoughts on this at all? You don't think this is the best? You know, listen, we curb gun violence one five-hole shot at a time.
What? Why?
Well, I'll tell you why, Cody. Because according to the Oakland University police chief, they are easy to carry, they're heavy, and they have the ability to cause distraction when thrown. So imagine we're here in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're doing our little podcast. Or maybe we're doing a broadcast. And somehow somebody breaches the myriad of security setups they have here in the building and gets to us, comes in. So they burst through the door, which would be hard because these doors are really heavy.
They're really heavy.
Really heavy.
You're not getting in here fast.
Yeah, there's not going to be a lot of bursting through the doors.
And there's double doors. So, like, we'll hear it. We'll look. We'll see through the glass.
And we probably see it coming down the hall. Now, I don't know if these glasses, we know they're soundproof. I don't know if these glasses here are bulletproof.
This glass is like 10 inches thick.
All right.
I think it's.
And it's double.
It's bullet resistant.
Yeah.
Someone comes 6 feet on the other side of that, shoots in here, it's going to hurt. But if it goes through, but it's not going to.
Well, let's try. I'm going to get a firearm, and you stand in here, and I'll start blasting away.
Okay.
What are you guys? What are you doing? Oh, it's show. Content.
I'll hold up a hockey puck as a shield to show off that it's also a good shield.
Well, I think the hockey puck is supposed to be thrown at me, flung at me, because, well, again, nobody'd burst in, so we'd see them come, and we'd be able to, you know, sit in front of this 900-pound door, and nobody's getting in. So we're pretty safe.
Yeah.
But say we're, I don't know, say I'm at school, you know, with my second graders, and all of a sudden in comes some armed intruder. And I say, oh, my goodness, I don't have a gun, but ha-ha, and I pull out my hockey puck like a ninja throwing star, and I zing it at him, clunks him right on the noggin. Now, it doesn't knock him out. It doesn't kill him. You know what it does? Makes him mad. but it gives him enough. It gives me enough time if I'm lightning fast, which you know I am. I have cat-like reflexes.
Right.
So I fling the hockey puck. As I release the puck, I also leap into action. So by the time the puck hits him in the head or bangs off the locker next to his head, causing him to lurch one way or another. And yes, I'm making the armed intruder a man. Because women, I would just sweet talk with my eyes. Mm-hmm. Hello, ladies. You don't want any trouble here. Oh. I'd be able to, before the puck landed at its target, I would be able to get up there and, wrestle the intruder to the ground. That's what the hockey puck does. Plus, I could carry like six of them in a sack. Just a big, like a purse, a hockey puck filled bag. Like I'm Johnny Appleseed, but I have hockey pucks in there. And I'm loaded for bear. And every day that I didn't use one, I would thank God. And then I would go home and I would put all my hockey pucks back in the freezer to make them even harder. That's why hockey pucks are the way to go. So, people think it's a good idea. Well, the people at Oakland University. And you know why? Because they're terrified. Because they're like, who knows? What are we going to do? Might as well.
Don't they have campus security?
Well, sure they do, but campus security can't be everywhere. They have a police force on campus. They can't be everywhere. That's why you got to arm people with pucks. Pucks don't kill people. They just really make them mad. Maybe you Duncan Keith them. You whip it so hard, you hit him in the mouth, you knock out seven teeth. That's going to drop a guy to a knee. You throw right at his nards. Boom. You don't have to be a great shot. If you're a pretty good, because for the hockey puck to be effective, you got to be fairly close.
Right.
Like this is too close. You and I, we're too close. If you were back on the wall, that'd be, I think, optimum. Because I'd probably hit you, I'd go center mass with my hockey puck now. Just go right between the game and the heart on your t-shirt, drop you. Maybe I'd break your sternum if I throw it hard enough. Because, I got that 95 mile an hour fastball. So I can only imagine you put you could give people baseballs too while you're at it. I think because they're in Michigan, they went with the hockey puck. But, warmer weather climates, you just give your staff baseballs. And then for training, you just take them to like the batting cages. Or you have, you hire a minor league pitching coach to come in. And you're just throwing baseballs at them all day. That's how you practice. Then you get good. Somebody comes in, zing, little chin music. You know what I'm talking about?
I need to see a video of someone effectively utilizing this hockey puck offense with their bare hands.
Well, yeah, they're not going to shoot it at him with a stick. It's not going to be like, hold on, it's a power play goal. I have to get my stick from down on the rack, and then we're going to go. No, it's, you got to be ready to go. You're just flinging it.
Yeah, I'm looking on YouTube, and of course, it's all just hockey videos. I need to see a video of a professor in a classroom picking up a hockey puck and like throwing it at something, or like a trained police officer throwing it and making a dent in something, showing some kind of impact. Because I'd imagine they're not.
The hockey pucks are heavy.
I know. Yeah. I do know that.
Okay.
How much heavier than a baseball? And is a baseball more aerodynamic?
Baseball is going to be easier to throw because a baseball you can just pick up and throw.
Right.
It'd be like a rock.
A puck you got to position your hand.
A puck you have to hold on the circumference.
Like are they throwing it like a frisbee or like they're skipping stones?
You almost have to throw it like a car tire.
Yeah.
Like overhand. So you really need to snap your wrist to get that backward rotation. So when it hit, boom, it would go up. If it hit you in the forehead, it would fling upward. I think a baseball or a rock would be better. There was reports of schools giving their teachers rocks after the last school shooting.
Rocks.
Well,
have you ever heard the term? It's like bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Right.
How about bringing a rock to a gunfight? Give them a knife.
No, because a knife you got to be right up on somebody.
Well,
nobody's throwing a knife like Rambo.
Well, a rock. Throw a rock? I guess. I don't know.
I think they're just saying maybe it gives you. I think it's dumb. I think the justification is, one, we're desperate, and two, we have to have something that will at least distract the intruder. If I hit him in the head for a second, he'll turn. Maybe that couple seconds that he turns and shakes off the rock, you can get to him. But what are you going to do if you get to one? I mean, I'm looking at most of the teachers I know, the teachers at the school I'm at, are young women. That doesn't mean they're not strong. Some are very strong. But wrestle a firearm away from an intruder strong? I don't know. I'm a big guy. I don't know if I could do it. Because they say with a, you know, with a long barreled weapon, rifle or AR-50, whatever they're using, you got to grab it by the barrel, too, and you wrestle it away. And if they've already fired, the barrel is real hot, and you'll singe your hands. It's rough, man.
I mean, we've agreed, and I think this is relatively common sense, that the idea of putting a gun in every teacher's hands is kind of completely insane.
Well, we've agreed.
We have.
And yet, it's not common sense because there's still a lot of people who are saying it's a good idea.
So why don't we arm
everybody? Everybody gets armed.
Is arming them with hockey pucks more or less completely insane?
I think it's equally insane. I think it's, look, we're doing something. What are you doing?
We're
doing nothing.
I mean, yeah, let's say, you know, Ooh. Arming with guns makes you totally, that's an insane idea.
Right.
Doing nothing doesn't seem like it's a reasonable option at this point.
Sure.
Because everyone is shooting everyone. There's a school shooting like daily.
Right.
So, everyone's murdering all the time.
Yeah.
So then you do something about it. Is this better than nothing?
Yeah, it's better than nothing. Because maybe somebody's got a real good arm, but it gives them a false sense of security.
So maybe we look at the silver lining. This is what I was talking about in the last episode with, like, people not thinking two steps ahead.
Right. We just think one.
So, like, generally, gun advocates, a lot of them are conservative or, like, on the right, right?
Right.
So, okay, they say everyone should have guns, right? Okay. But then, like, you take that to the next step. Let's say we go with everything they say. The next step is there's an armed guard outside of every synagogue and mosque and church and everything. That means we're essentially a police state,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's, like, antithetical to right-wing thinking, right? Isn't that true? Like
they want less government.
You want less government, you want less control over what you do, you want more personal freedom.
Well, that's why the, you know,
so,
we can all carry. But yes, I see what you're saying.
So,
if the government is arming people to be at every institution,
right.
Kind of, yeah.
It's antithetical, and that's kind of right. what I was saying in the last thing is it's like.
But then we have to arm ourselves more because now the government is more armed.
Yeah,
and you know.
So then that's like
escalate.
A thing, and then you got to pay more money on that. Your taxes will go up.
Sure.
I know that conservatives don't like that.
Right.
I don't like it much either.
I don't like
frankly,
it either.
I don't think a lot of people do.
No,
but that's like a pillar of the Republican Party. So, you know, and I made if you missed last week's podcast, I criticized the left about this same thing with some of the like anti Merry Christmas sentiment. I just it's what I'm seeing more and more in politics is like when you stop and you just think, oh, okay, all right, let's go with this. What's next? Sometimes the what's next is like the opposite of what you're trying to accomplish
right.
in the first place.
Yeah.
It's weird. We're in a weird time. And
it's the end of days, Cody.
I don't have answers. Both sides are doing it, man. Like
oh, yeah.
It's this equal opportunity, like criticism, but it's weird. And I don't know how to get people to think two steps ahead instead of one.
Well, we don't want to see. If we think two steps ahead, we're going to realize the problems are much bigger than the black and white solution that we've conjured up in our, you know, small minds. You know, we can come to a knee-jerk reaction. This is going to fix everything. Well, it'll fix it today. But what about next week? Next week, we're screwed. Oh, yeah, but today, everything's cool, right? Today, it's great. We'll think about that later. Okay, but if we thought a little bit further about it now, we'd save that extra step of it sucking again in the short term.
Yeah.
And we could suffer for maybe another couple days and then have it better in the long term. That's a lot of hassle. We don't want to deal with that. That's a lot of work.
Well, this happened.
What are you, out of your mind?
And to bring it back around to 2001.
Yes.
This happened in a
To the Miz?
This happened. Close. This happened in a bipartisan way with, all right, don't let the terrorists win. Okay, what do? We increase airport security.
Right on.
Guess what? TSA is so unbearable. I say the terrorists won. How many miserable hours have you sat in an airport delayed and whatever? And like, how many studies have shown how ineffective the TSA is and all these things?
Don't get me started on the holiday candy that cost me an hour at TSA.
Right,
because
right.
they thought my fun-sized Butterfinger was going to explode.
Right.
Because they tell me, you know, bad guys can mold things to look like candy bars, too. I said, look at my size. I don't want to mold bad things into a candy bar. I want the candy bar to mold me into a bad thing. Idiots.
Yeah.
So don't get me started.
Yeah, and I won't. I'm just saying, yeah.
No, not you. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, if the idea was...
I'll tell you another thing about another thing.
The idea is still at the terrorist... They won. Our airports are miserable, and they don't even say welcome home when you come back in the country, and that makes me angry.
The people don't. The signs do.
The signs do.
Signs do.
In, like, one language.
I only speak one language, Cody. The language of love.
Is it American?
It's Amore.
Ooh, is it?
Yeah, well, which is Italian. Well, so I guess I speak two languages.
Yeah, that is two.
Suddenly I'm international.
I wonder what Brittany speaks. She went to bed. I'm very upset about that.
Well, she speaks, it's time to, you know, she speaks, I'm responsible. I got to go to bed.
It is past 10. We should maybe wrap soon.
Yeah, because it's
You
yeah,
have
it's
to get up in 3 hours.
Well, if these weeks are any indication, I'm still suffering. Yeah, so, no, we do. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week with another podcast. You may say to yourself, Brian, will you ever be live on WGN again? Sure, we'll be I'll be live for the 2 weeks of starting Christmas Eve, except for Christmas Day. We'll be back, and we'll remind you of all this, we'll be back with a live Sunday show on the 30th, correct? The 30th of December, a day I'll always remember.
Wait, we'll be back before then.
We will?
Wait, what's today? Today's the 9th that we're doing this one. So, yeah, we got one the 16th.
Right. We'll do another podcast. Yeah.
Back on the air the 30th.
Back on the air the 30th. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and for the podcast next week, hey, teaser, I'll let you know what Logan said. I haven't heard back from him. I'll let you know what Logan says about the Oreo vegan.
He'll be very upset. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for always supporting the podcast and supporting us. We always do appreciate it. Cody's other podcast, Game Life Balance US, you can find it at WGNRadio.com or on their YouTube channel. That's all for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Time to go.
Like, subscribe, share, retweet, share on Facebook, react with a love emoji.
Comment.
Snapchat.
All of that? Really?
Yeah, Tumblr.
Should we go on Tumblr?
No.
No. Do people even tumble?
I've tumbled.
I'll tumble for you. I'll tumble for you. Who's that?
Rick James.
No, Culture Club. God, you are young.